The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
So glad to have you join us here on the program today. Mike Gilland here with you across the Shepherd Radio Network. And I've got in front of me Hal Fickett. Hal is the leader, the CEO, the president, the founder, top dog, big cheese, all those things with a couple of companies that we're going to learn about, Grid Play Designs, and something that is novel in the sense that I've certainly never got to work with anybody that works specifically with nonprofits the way that Hal is doing and has a wonderful organization already set up. And we were able to come in and the Shepherd and be part of that. And that's called the Central Florida Nonprofits. So great to have you with us, Hal.
Good to be here, Mike. Thank you for having me.
It's so great. I mean, honestly, we had a meeting and we both of us, I think, entered this maybe hoping something could work out in a positive way.
Yeah.
Because we were told about you guys from our good friend Mark Goldstein, who is a big proponent for what you are doing. And we have found that anybody that Mark likes is a good person to like.
Yeah, Mark is such an awesome guy. He's been a blessing to me, and I know countless others. So I'm so glad he connected us.
Yeah, he did. And now we're joined, if you will, as a partner on your website, which we'll talk more thoroughly in a bit. Yeah. First of all, we want to get to know you. And,
okay.
You know, I was shocked to learn that you are from Boston.
I know. No accent.
Yeah.
Right?
Or from the Massachusetts. Was it Boston? I know. I shouldn't say.
Well, it was an hour north of Boston.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town called Newburyport, which is, you know, right on the coast, right by the ocean. So it was a beautiful place to grow up. And my mother is still there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was born and raised.
So you've lived in both Massachusetts and New York, and actually in the city of New York, yet you do not have a Bronx accent, and you don't have the Bostonian sound at all either.
I do not. I went to acting school for undergrad, and I think that just knocked it right out of me.
Now, did you ever have that before?
You know, honestly, I don't think I did. I've always enjoyed the Boston accent, but never really picked it up myself.
Hmm. You know, when I went to England, I'll never forget this. My wife and I were so enjoying our first hour in the in the country there in the UK. And our host had a bunch of neighbors that knew we were going to come, and they were all the knock on the door, and they're all there. And we have like six or seven ladies standing in a semicircle in front of us, talking to us, asking questions. And in the process, I said, well, one of the things we're really looking forward to, we so enjoy visiting with people from the UK and listening to their accent. And one of them spoke up, our accent? You're the one that has the accent. So, and I find out they are there not just to greet us. They are there to listen to us. And I'm pretty sure to laugh at us, because I think we sounded quite funny to them.
Yeah. Well, I love that English accent. It's funny they kind of flipped that on you.
Yeah.
They did. But that's cool. That must have been a great trip.
It was an awesome trip. We got to spend, I think, 10 days on that trip.
Oh, nice.
In different parts. We were hosted there in the area east of London. It's in the Kent area. We got to spend several days there. Went to a conference that was amazing called the Stoneleigh Bible Week, and that was up near Birmingham.
Okay.
So that's way north of London, and got to be in that part. And we brought the Florida heat that year with us.
Okay.
They're normally rainy and cooler. When we were there, it was like in the fall, and it should have been cool, but it was 90 plus.
Wow.
And they were really shocked. It was a heat wave for London, and it was dry and no rain. at least not that whole week that we were there. That it was amazing. And then we got to, at the end of that conference, and by the way, we had tent camping during that conference too.
Wow.
So it wasn't okay. In a hotel or whatever.
We were roughing
yeah,
it.
We were rough. Well, they had rented for us the Taj Mahal of tents. It was amazing. It was literally like a 4-room tent. It was great. It was wonderful.
Deluxe tents.
A deluxe.
Nice.
So then we took the train. I highly recommend if you ever travel to the UK, make sure you travel by rail to the different cities, because you really get to see what they do and how they do. And this was in 1995 when we did this trip. So you can imagine the shock was on my face. I had a cell phone, but not everybody had a cell phone.
Okay.
In that day.
Yeah.
Everyone in England spent their time. It was the first place that I ever saw where just about everybody on the train, they weren't talking to each other. Their faces were down looking at their phones or on the phone.
Huh.
And it was really weird. So that was a mark of things to come.
Yes.
Because it wasn't
much
as
like
plenty
today.
They were ahead of us over there.
Yeah.
So that was a great time. Well, you know, you have spent some time, as I mentioned, in New York City. So first of all, before we get to talking about that and the acting and all that, how did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah. So that is the question, right? you know, I grew up in the church up until I was 13. And, you know, I always had a rebellious spirit, to be quite honest. And I gave my poor mom such a hard time about not wanting to go to church that after I was confirmed, I believe, she said, "Okay, Hal, you know, I'm going to give you the opportunity to leave the church if you want. I love you. God's got you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that choice at this age." And so I took her up on the opportunity, unfortunately. And I had about, without going into too much detail, I had 10 rough years after that. A lot of dark times, unfortunately. And when I was 23, I got sober. And so I've been sober ever since. Mm-hmm. I've been sober for 13 years. And that step that I took really kind of took me on this journey of wanting to find God, you know, and asking that question and searching for that meaning in my life. And, I mean, I read all sorts of books on various religions, talked to all sorts of people from different backgrounds. And I mean, gosh, I even went to a Buddhist monastery in search of this understanding I was craving so much. And around the age of 26, I just really started being interested and curious about Jesus Christ. You know, he was working in my life the entire time, and he was bringing me to him. And I met my now wife, Gina, through the starting of a nonprofit theater company. We did outdoor Shakespeare productions, and Gina was in the first production we ever did. And Gina has always been a strong believer. She loves the Lord. And God just used this wonderful woman to bring me to him, because for 2 months when we were rehearsing and touring throughout the various open spaces where we performed, he just opened up these moments in time for us to have these rich, deep spiritual conversations. And she was telling me about Christ, you know, and I was loving it. I was fascinated. And one of the last performances we had, I collapsed from heat stroke.
Oh my goodness.
Because we were performing outside. We were doing As You Like It by Shakespeare. And it was like a brutal 90, 100 degrees in the sunlight. And I was so exhausted from the entire experience, I just collapsed. And they had to bring me indoors into an air-conditioned space. And she said, "Can I pray over you?" And that just became such a meaningful moment in my life. And a couple of weeks later, we started dating. And I would you know, go to church with her off and on. And we would have these moments where we would pray together, but we were praying to different gods. And then all of a sudden, we both started praying to Jesus. And he brought me right to him, you know, and I've been a believer ever since.
That's a wonderful story, Hal. You know, the miracle of a person like yourself, I think back when you have that decision, much like what the prodigal son did in the Bible, where just left what would be a comfortable and secure and maybe even grounded background, but going to kind of find out, if you will, for yourself and sow those wild oats and do all that kind of stuff. It's a real miracle. What your mom said was really true, because God's hand was going to be on you and it was going to protect you.
Yeah.
And just like the prodigal son, brought you back.
Yes.
So that part of that was true. I'm sorry that you had to go through those dark years. But
yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I wouldn't change it. And I think it's given me a deep understanding of his grace and what that looks like, you know, kind of lived out in real life through experience. So, and I think it's important that I can then pass on that hope to other people. And so I have that opportunity now. And I don't take that for granted.
Mm-hmm. And the way that Gina spoke up and prayed for you.
I know.
It's really...
Isn't that awesome?
Really hard to describe the importance of taking advantage of a moment like what she did. That moment becomes part of your life that you never forget.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had a lot of moments like that since, you know?
Yeah, a lot of decisions that you've made.
She is the better half, so I'm very thankful for her. And, you know, God has used us both in each other's lives, and it's a part of how we're growing closer to him.
When you were wanting to be an actor, what would be your goal back then? What would you, if you could have had everything you wanted, what were your success goals?
Yeah, so back in the day, it was all about me, for sure. And I just wanted to be rip-roaring famous, you know?
Rip-roaring famous. I got to write that one down.
To be quite honest. Yeah, I just wanted to be in those lights on Broadway, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, New York City is a humbling place. If you haven't lived there, or if you have lived there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a city that is dynamic. It's a city that's exciting, but it's a city that's going to beat you down for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it did for sure for me.
Pre-COVID, this whole expression about the city that never sleeps, it's really true.
Yeah. So you can imagine when COVID hit, how shocked I was to see photos on Facebook of no one walking around New York City.
Yeah. Times Square.
That was frightening.
Yeah.
And startling, to say the least, because, you know, I was in New York from about 2006, really to 2011, I believe. And it was an entirely different place than I'm sure it is at this point.
And I'm sure that a lot of the people that you knew back then may be in the process of moving away, because a lot of people are moving out right now.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine. And, you know, I know Manhattan in of itself used to be at least such an expensive place that even doctors were being forced to move to Brooklyn, you know. So it's an experience I'm glad I had. It's a city I never want to live in again.
It makes me really
grateful for Orlando, Florida. I love it here.
Yeah, it's incredibly different, incredibly free compared to the two. And even when I was there, I remember thinking, yeah, there's a lot to visit. There are a lot of things to see. But boy, I certainly wouldn't want to have lived there.
Yeah, it's a tough place to live. The one thing I miss is Central Park and the Metropolitan Museum. That was one of my happy places, if you will, in New York City. So there's aspects of it that I miss, but I'm so grateful, you know, we're living here these days.
At what point did it come up in your minds to move to Florida?
Yeah, so, you know, I lived in New York City for 5.5 years, and then Gina for 3.5, and we moved to Long Island, New York, to run our Shakespeare Theater. And after we closed that, I worked for an NPR station for about a year. And we just thought, you know, this is a hard place to live. This is an expensive place to live. If we have a family one day, which we hope we will, it would be helpful to be in a place close to family that costs far less, that, hey, maybe isn't so gloomy, mm-hmm. you know, for the majority of the year. And so we were originally going to move to Tampa, and we checked out Tampa and decided that that wasn't where God wanted us. But we knew Gina's parents were, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump in Orlando. And we just kind of came back because we were staying with them after visiting Tampa. And we said, I think we're going to move here. Mm-hmm. And we did. And it's been one of the best decisions we've made in our marriage. So I'm really glad we did.
That's wonderful. Hal Fickett is my guest today. Hal is the leader. He is the president of Grid Play Designs and Central Florida Nonprofits. And the latter of those two organizations, The Shepherd, is now part of as a media partner with Hal and his company. And we're going to learn more about what they are doing. And I got to find out one more thing about NPR. I got to find out what your job was with that. When we return, this is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
What a joy to have with me today Hal Fickett from Grid Play Designs and Central Florida Nonprofits. You know, Hal, you mentioned something that I just have to follow up on.
Okay.
One of your things that you did after your time in New York as an actor, and by the way, you were an actor in plays, off-Broadway plays.
I was.
In New York.
I was an off-Broadway actor in New York City. And after 2008 hit, which, you know, the economy took a
tanked.
Big financial hit, to say the least, I went into producing.
Yeah.
And so that was one of my first loves as far as work goes, producing theater productions. So we produced Shakespeare productions outdoors, and I also got to act in those. So that was great fun.
Hmm. Now, that would have set you up for doing NPR radio, right?
Yeah. You know, I got married in 2012, and I was thinking to myself, you know, gosh, I love theater, but it's probably not the best career to be able to take care of a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, Lord, what's next? You know, something needs to be next, as much as I love theater. And from there, he brought me to marketing, which was kind of a natural extension of producing, since there's a marketing element involved in that. And so he brought me to an NPR station called 88.3 WPPB in Long Island in New York.
Oh, that's big. I mean, you had a major market there, number one market in the world.
The Hamptons is so interesting. You know, it's got the influence of the big city, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's this very small town feel. So super unique, interesting place to live.
And the properties are beautiful there.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. And I mean, extravagant, to say the least.
Yeah. It's not everybody gets to live in the Hamptons.
No, they don't. So it was an interesting market to operate in. And I think we were a company of about 10 staff members. So it was a pretty small operation, even though, you know, the station had a pretty big reach
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, people being able to get the station, you know, miles away from where we operated. But I got to wear so many hats you know, in that role, like I've done with some others for sure. So I did digital marketing. I did sales. I sold underwriting, which is, you know, NPR's version of ads.
Right.
And then I also did fundraising. So that included one-on-one fundraising and then going on air during the fund drives where we essentially
like a share-a-thon type of
begged
thing.
For money.
Yeah.
You know, and people called in and made donations. It was such a wild but fun time. And then I actually got to produce some live events as well. So it was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
And I love radio as a result.
Well, you have that nice, smooth voice.
Thank you.
That would be what you have to have if you're on public broadcasting.
I know everyone has that, like, the same tone in their voice on NPR. It's weird. It's like, how do you...
This segment has been underwritten by Gridplay Designs. And now back to our program. There we go.
That's exactly it. So I don't know, you know, that's like a requirement for NPR, but
that's it.
Everyone's got that tone, you know.
When I was in radio in Indiana, this is one of the most fun and simultaneously embarrassing moments that I remember. But I worked for some of these share-a-thons on television for the TV version of public broadcasting, the TV station. And they were doing some, they had a very flashy general manager at that station who was a Mr. Grade A, type A personality. And he was awesome on these things.
Yeah.
Got some radio guys like myself that were in secular radio at the time and got us to come on and be on the air. And so it gave us an opportunity to feel that kind of the broadcast element, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this. I'm talking, it's a demonstration of this little refrigerator, like a camping refrigerator that was going to be auctioned off. It was an auction for the fundraiser.
Yeah.
And while I'm talking, I'm thinking that I can talk. And this is dangerous for me because sometimes I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. But I'm talking and I'm opening the door of this refrigerator. When I opened the door, the door came off.
Oh, no.
In my hands. It came off.
Oh, my gosh.
And they tell me that the look on my face when that happened, while I'm still trying to talk and be nonchalant, was really a moment to see. So,
I wish they had that recorded.
I wish I had a copy of that. Yeah.
Go back and watch that.
Yeah, in the day, I wish I did.
That's too funny.
But that was fun, and I'm sure you had some great times. But you ended up here in Central Florida, moving down here, thinking you're going to live in Tampa, and now you're down and in the home where, or in the home city where your wife's folks live, right?
Yeah, so Gina grew up in Orlando from when she was 9 to 18, and then kind of left after, you know, for undergrad, essentially, and living in New York City and Long Island, obviously, afterwards. And so it's a homecoming for her, for sure. So I don't know if she pictured herself living in Orlando, you know, at the age of 18, but we're sure happy to be here, and she's happy to be back, so.
How long before you had this idea of starting these companies like the company that you lead, Gridplay?
Yeah, sure. So it was about 7 years, 6 or 7 years, maybe 6.5. When we moved down, I had this freelance marketing business because I got really passionate about the digital space working at this NPR station.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran a digital marketing company with Gina and two other friends of ours for 6 years, and then overlapped with that, I also owned another marketing company as well for 2.5. And that marketing company had the services were more expanded, if you will. We offered more to the businesses that we worked with. And when COVID hit, without going into too much detail, it just had become apparent that it was time to move on from those companies. I closed one in 2019. So that was actually before the pandemic, but the other one I left in July of 2020. So kind of in the heart of it.
Yeah, it was in the heart of it. Yeah.
And so Gina and I, you know, we had all this web design and graphic design experience from working, you know, for those companies. And that's what we're really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, let's team up. Let's focus on what we love doing. Let's do it together. You know, let's be that family business. And we've been doing grid play designs since August of last year.
Mm. How did you come up with that name?
Gina. I'm terrible at naming things. So that's
such
all
a great
Gina.
Name.
Yeah. I mean, all design happens on a grid, obviously. So it's very appropriate. And I think it rolls off the tongue. So
yeah,
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great name. And, you know, it's you were there in New York at that public station doing these things during a time that our whole world was changing from the standpoint of marketing and graphics. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the opportunities for digital was really ramping up. And a lot of people, I think, especially those of us that are older, in many cases, really don't understand yet what I think young people who have grown up with this and the comfort level of digital, it seems like, well, what does that mean and how does it go? And so there's a lot yet to be learned about the digital world, but it really does change a lot. And how you market everything has changed too since the advent of the dot-coms and all of that.
Yeah, so I really got into the digital space really when social media was just kind of coming into its own. You know, it was becoming just kind of a regular part of daily life, whether you're checking it for personal reasons or using it for business purposes. So
if you had a MySpace account back in the day, yeah, you were on the leading edge right there.
You were, yeah. So this was when Facebook had really overtaken MySpace and Twitter was coming up and Pinterest and, you know, all these new platforms were becoming widely popular or coming of age. And so it was the right time to get into digital marketing. And I think as far as using that to create community around the NPR station I worked for was such a natural extension of the radio itself, because radio creates this community. And then we extended that through the digital marketing channels we were on.
You know,
and
I think
that was exciting.
I think there is a real parallel there, because radio deals with the imagination and what can happen, if you will, in a space where there are no visuals. But then in the digital world, you have this, it's a parallel type where it's not necessarily concrete. There's some abstract attributes to it. And yet you're able to create something and make it come to life, so to speak, digitally speaking. And so there, I see those parallels.
Yeah. And I think for me, the exciting thing was the engagement from the community that we were getting, because we were getting, you know, song suggestions on social media, which the DJs would then play on their shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really trying to curate content, user-generated content through social to then, you know, be played out live on the radio in these different radio shows that the station had under its umbrella. So it was fun. I think the most exciting thing that I did then, that I still think is one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my career, is we had a live concert in this old museum space, and we had a live audience. So it was a live concert spliced in with live interviews. So the host would go on the stage, interview the band between songs, and then we simultaneously broadcasted that concert over the radio with all those interviews that were happening. And that was, I mean,
it still puts
a smile on my face.
Yeah, you were doing all the different medium right there.
It's yeah.
It was all going out. That is really fun to see, and things have changed so much. And what you're able to do now digitally, it is really crazy. And just the layers. I think back, Hal, to even members who are listening right now of church offices who have to put together and have put together bulletins for their Sunday services.
Yeah.
And in the day, I had a drafting table or a drafting board, and I had a T-square, And we got you know, we taped down our master template page for that week's bulletin, and we would type up on a typewriter and then cut it out and lay it down with rubber cement. I mean, that was the what we did every week.
Yeah.
That's how we handled marketing in the church and getting our word out, and now you cut and paste, and it's all so perfect, and it's really a different day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have a friend who used to work for a newspaper, and it was so wild hearing, you know, how they produced hard copy newspapers back in the day. You know, it just seemed like a fun but complicated, you know, process
right.
for sure.
You know, in addition to the kind of business that I think graphic designers would be expecting, GridPlay does all of that. You work with clients. You're obviously an entrepreneur, and you help businesses grow with their design and giving them the graphic look. But then there's this other part of what you do as well, under the umbrella of GridPlay, called nonprofits, Central Florida nonprofits. Tell us about how you got into that.
Yeah, so GridPlay Designs offers professional and affordable web design and graphic design services to small businesses, but also nonprofits. Nonprofits are a big part of our clientele, and we just have such a heart, you know, working with nonprofits and ministries in this area and, you know, throughout the state of Florida. And our whole thing at GridPlay Designs is to offer custom design, but at an affordable price. Because often, you know, you can either have either or, but we want our clients to have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. So that's the line we're really trying to walk in, the value that we're really trying to add.
So by custom, would you mean not a cookie cutter type of an approach, but
not
maybe really bringing their own unique business aspects into the logo and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a big part of our business, and actually my kind of personal ministry, is the act of listening to others. I know I'm talking a lot because this is a radio show, but it's really important for me to listen to others and give others a platform or a space to be heard. And so we really try and bring that element into our work with clients, to really understand what they're looking for, what they're trying to achieve, what, you know, the look and feel of a website or graphic design piece that they want, like a logo, and really try and bring that vision to life for them so it's tangible. They can see it in front of them and hold it in front of them, either on a cell phone, you know, or a business card or what have you. So it's something we love to do. And we, like I said, we work with a lot of nonprofits. So when I first met Mr. Mark Goldstein in August of last year, we were on a Zoom call just trying to get to know each other a little bit and connect. He knew that our web design firm worked with nonprofits. So he said, "Hey, Hal, I've got an idea. Here it is." And it was essentially the idea, the seed of what CentralFloridaNonprofits.org is now. And I love the idea so much that the next day I bought that domain.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days after that, I think I started building the website in tandem with Gina. So it's been a really cool journey so far.
So then the difference is you were working with all these nonprofits one-on-one.
Right.
And helping them in their business and helping them in what they do and get the word out. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people, even today, you know, how that is. Many years as we've had with websites and home pages, there's still a lot of people out there that are not happy with the way their business looks online. And I think that's understandable, because you think of all the businesses in the world, and there's, you know, everyone will hit one they really like. And I think that question, how can I improve my look? And that's what you guys do. You give guys, businesses, a fresh set of eyes to look into their particular ministry or nonprofit or with GridPlay with their business. But now with this idea that Mark brought you, it's almost like a landing page or a home site for a bunch of nonprofits to come together.
Yeah, you got it. So we like to say Central Florida Nonprofits is a free resource, which it is, for people in the community to find nonprofits and ministries to benefit from, donate to, and volunteer for.
Mm.
And so at its core, it's almost like a directory, mm-hmm. right, for nonprofits in the Central Florida area. One space where people can come to find, you know, nonprofits they want to engage with for various purposes, like I mentioned. So it's for the community and the people in the community who either who need these services that these organizations provide or want to support those organizations. But then it's also for the nonprofit community as well, because mm-hmm. Any nonprofit, for the most part, can have a free profile page on the website and a presence on the website at no cost to them, and, you know, get the marketing benefits from that, and, you know, use it to engage with the community and drive awareness for the great work that they're doing. So it's to serve, you know, people in the community, but then it's also to serve the nonprofits as well and kind of give back to the people who serve others.
And we're going to talk more about those groups that Hal works with, some of the nonprofits that are regularly featured. And we can also talk about how the Shepherd's presence is there as well when we return. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're listening to The Shepherd. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again with Hal Fickett, who is with Gridplay Designs and also Central Florida Nonprofits. What a fun time this has been. A young man that was an actor. He was a producer of plays into Shakespeare. You know, we didn't talk a lot about Shakespeare. And yet this is a name, and it's a genre of acting, especially in New York, where almost everybody knows something about it, but almost nobody knows about as much of it as what an actor would know, because you've actually studied his works. You've actually performed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Shakespearean role?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny about Shakespeare. I read Shakespeare in high school, as I'm sure most students do, at least they did back then. And I did not find it very exciting, to be quite honest, at that time.
To be or not to be quite honest?
Yeah, to be quite honest. And Shakespeare really came alive for me when I began to embody those words through acting and mm-hmm. theater, and just seeing how rich that writing is, and just the elegance of it, the poetry of it. But then how relatable it is at the same time.
Is it the writing style, do you think, that made Shakespeare so great, or was it the content?
I think it was both. I mean, he is such a beautiful wordsmith, for sure. But then also just the plots of these plays and the characters of these plays are so engaging and dynamic, and just kind of run the spectrum of human experience. Mm-hmm. That it's just kind of he's just, you know, he had everything he needed to create a great work of art.
He was certainly one for the ages, no doubt. And yeah. His work still being talked about today, it's almost like the high watermark of acting to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
From what I've been able to tell, that if you've done and starred in a Shakespearean play on Broadway or in a movie that was done, that was like one of the top resume marks for an actor.
Yeah. And, you know, I studied Shakespeare in acting class in undergrad. And I'm so glad I did, because that's when I really began to fall in love with his work. And so I was so excited to bring that passion for the body of work that he put together in his lifetime, as far as the Shakespeare productions we produced with the theater company that I ran. And we did very minimalist plays, mm-hmm. We perform them outdoors in these gorgeous spaces like a state park. We performed on two different farms as well, so these really unique spots. And it was a great way to not only appreciate art, but build community as well. So it was a tough, but it was a total blast, and I'm so glad I got to experience that.
That's really cool. I'm glad you did as well, Hal. Hal Fickett is my guest today. You know how this economy has been really rocked over the last year. 2020 was nothing like what any of us ever dreamed it would have been.
Yeah.
And you guys already had a grid play in the mind and was being developed, and the nonprofits as well. How did COVID impact what you were doing at the time when the lockdowns happened?
Yeah, so COVID, the financial impact of COVID impacted us quite significantly. As a result, I left one of the marketing companies that I owned in July. I worked for a media company as well at the time called Scenes Media, which is still around, you know, thank God, because it's just such a wonderful initiative. But I had to leave that as well. And so Gridplay Designs was really just kind of born out of passion, but also necessity as well to put food on the table, but also to, you know, enjoy the intersection of art and commerce, because that is something I am so passionate about. And I think web design and graphic design is this amazing embodiment of that intersection between art and commerce. So I'm so glad that we're still able to do what we love and do it today, despite COVID and, and the struggles.
Do you still enjoy, like, you and Gina go out to plays often?
You know, we've got two beautiful, rambunctious little kids, so we don't get too many date nights these
and
days.
It changes what you do, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we've got a wild man named Elijah, who is three, almost four, which is just wild. And then just a sweet baby girl named Gabriella Rose, who is close to 2 years old now. So the date nights are few and far between, but I think a few years ago, we went to the Orlando Shakespeare Theater and we saw their production of Nicholas Nickleby, which is a Charles Dickens book. And they did it over two nights, actually. So there was like a part one and a part two. And part one was 3 hours. Then you came back the next night for part two, which was 3 hours. And it was wonderful. Oh, so
I was going to ask, how is it for you to watch another production? Didn't know if that would be a good thing or was it a difficult thing?
No, it wasn't a difficult thing at all. You know, I don't have any desire to act these days myself. You know, if the opportunity arose, I would certainly produce a play, but I can just kind of sit back now and appreciate it and actually appreciate it more since I'm not in the thick of it. You know, I'm not in the thick of that life. So I actually appreciate theater all the more these days.
We're a third of the way through 2021 already. And just even saying that, it makes it seem impossible that that could be the case. But, you know, we're moving really getting closer now to a fourth of the way through. And it's there's a lot of motion toward maybe a return to business as we all want to see it happen, and life free from some of the trappings of COVID in this past very weird time. What are you excited about with your company? What things are you now working toward as we kind of go out of this phase?
Yeah, sure. So we've worked from home for a long time, so we'll continue to do that, you know, even with things picking back up. But I think we're really excited that people aren't, you know, they're not in kind of shelter mode as much anymore, like we all probably were in 2020 because of COVID. People are feeling more hopeful. They're feeling more engaged. They're more proactive in the life of their business for sure. So, I mean, we are here to support small businesses and nonprofits. So, you know, when they have that mind frame, we get to kind of journey along with them and support them in their business because, you know, we exist for them. So it's exciting to see things picking back up. You know, it's exciting to see businesses starting to thrive again and kind of, you know, leave some of those struggles behind, you know, for the most part.
I'm very excited to leave those things behind.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That is
too
exciting. Tell us a little bit about what you've done for the Shepherd. Tell our listeners how that they can go now and find out what's going on and even listen through your portal that you have on our page on your site. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I'm so excited about this partnership between Central Florida Nonprofits.org and the Shepherd. I just think it's so cool that we get to support one another and just kind of celebrate the medium of radio in tandem with digital. And so, you know, we feature at this point well over, I think, 30 nonprofits and ministries on the website, which is a total blast. But then we're also starting to engage with businesses as well. And in the context of our work with you guys, the Shepherd, we have a dedicated radio tab in the menu
on the
website, which goes to the Shepherd's landing page. And not only can you learn about this great radio station on that page and relevant links like, you know, explore podcasts or download the app or listen live or fill out the form to learn about advertising on the Shepherd, which is super. You can also listen to the live broadcast on the page itself.
That's
as well.
So crazy. So I love that.
Yeah, we've got the media player embedded on the page, so you can check out the site and listen to the Shepherd at the same time, which is super cool.
Now, the podcasts are changing. We have a brand new logo, speaking of marketing.
Yeah, looks great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Hats off to Will, one of our graphic designers that is in this building, and that's exciting. So, folks, if you haven't seen that yet, you can find that. And really, this is going to be an exciting partnership that we get to work with you at Central Florida Nonprofits and also with Grid Play Designs. Boy, I sure am hoping, Hal, that we can see these two entities that you are working on just blossom and explode in 2021 in the latter half of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're praying for that too, for sure. I think with Grid Play Designs, it was an important development for me spiritually, in the sense of, you know, I've owned four companies at this point, but with Grid Play, and actually in a lot of ways through my involvement with the Central Florida Christian Chamber and just kind of the rich conversations I've had in that context, when we started Grid Play, I just said, Lord, this is your company. This is for your kingdom. This is for your purposes. You're in charge. I'm not. So use me as you will. And for me, that was a big relief, you know, because it wasn't on my shoulders, or I wasn't telling myself it was all on my shoulders. And at the same time, you know, I felt like I finally really connected my business life with my love for Jesus. And that was huge for me. So it's exciting. It's always a journey, you know, there are ups and downs that any entrepreneur experiences, but it's where God wants me to be. So I'm happy I'm here.
One of the things that I love about talking with you in the past, and even in this program today, you brought up something that I just don't think a lot of people would think about, including the concept of community in business. Or in your case, at the NPR station even. But you mentioned that you were able to heighten the community of that radio station. And that sense of community is, I think, best expressed when you're talking about a Christian organization, a church, a group of people who are related to the Lord. They share a common bond and a community. So your organization is helping do that. And joining forces with other community builders like the Central Florida Chamber and other organizations, other relationships in the city. It's really exciting to see how you can be one of the leaders in this area of building community. That's an exciting thing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's so rich about business and business life. You know, it's obviously you have to make money, you know, you have to support the business, your family, you know, and that's, I mean, that's so important and that's necessary,
mm-hmm.
but it goes so far beyond that as well. And so if we can create community around these things and support one another, then life is just so much more rich than it was before. And I think CentralFloridaNonprofits.org, that really is at the heart of it all, to create community, to support one another, and to support the good work these nonprofits are doing.
Mm, that's wonderful. Give us your websites one more time.
Yeah, so it's gridplaydesigns.com. That is our web design and graphic design business. If you're listening, we'd love to hear from you. And then CentralFloridaNonprofits.org is the ministry of our web design company. And that's there to just highlight the great nonprofits in the Central Florida area and how your listeners can be involved in them.
That's wonderful. Hal Fickett, my guest today, a part of our community here in Central Florida. Well, it's so great to get to know you more and to hear the stories. And man, you know, just it's really been a blast for me to see how The Shepherd has been able to join hands with Central Florida nonprofits. So thank you for that. And friends, thank you for joining us today as well. We'll catch you next time as you listen to Afternoons with Mike across the Shepherd Radio Network.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.